1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3. I know that you just sat down, but why don't we stand for the reading of the word again today? 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3. Praise the Lord. There was a lot of money went up in smoke last night. At least on our street there was, not from my house, but anyway, there was a lot of money went up in smoke, literally. And but what a celebration. 250 years. Thank God. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Samuel took a stone, called it Ebenezer. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I want to talk to us today about the help of the Lord. The help of the Lord. We need Jesus today, don't we? Amen. Would you pray and ask God to speak to you? Lord, thank you for your word and your promises. I thank you for the example that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live today by faith, looking unto you where our help comes from. I pray that your blessing be upon every family, every home, every situation. I pray there would be victory in this house for every need, over every sickness and disease. I pray that you would set us free. I pray, Lord, that you would let there be complete victory. In the name of Jesus, complete victory, Lord. Let there be complete victory. Let every chain of darkness be broken. Let every addiction be overcome here in this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord, and give you praise right now. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and lift your voice and magnify the Lord. You may be seated today. Every generation has defining moments. How many of you here today, you remember where you were on 9/11? You remember that? Surely most of us today, we remember where we were when we heard about the shooting of President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. remember that. Can anybody remember when President Reagan was shot? Or even President Kennedy? Okay. You never forget things like that. There are other defining moments. Maybe it was a special birthday growing up. The day we were married. Hopefully we remember that day. The day our children were born. What about the day we were filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Or baptized in the name of Jesus. Life is marked by these memorable occasions, landmark events, important milestones. This weekend, our nation commemorates 250 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. 250 years. Imagine with me today what it would have been like to have been there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the summer of 1776. There with the 56 delegates to the Second Continental Congress. It must have been a beautiful day. Thomas Jefferson's weather diary noted that the high was 76 degrees. I wonder if they had any idea how important that day would become. The future was uncertain. There was no guarantee for victory. They were signing what could very well become their own death sentence. Yet they believed that liberty was worth the sacrifice. And they made the following pledge: with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. With a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence. Those words remind us today that our founding fathers, they understood that human wisdom is not enough. They recognize we need God's help. A year later, General George Washington and the Continental Army would face overwhelming odds. But again and again, they witnessed unlikely opportunities and victories. Many of our nation's early leaders publicly acknowledged their dependence on the providence and the favor of Almighty God. This nation was founded on Christian principles. It was the driving force behind the formation of our great country. And as we look today back on 250 years of history, we remember the courage, the sacrifice, and the service of so many. But above all, we should remember this. Every blessing we enjoy, every blessing ultimately comes from the hand of Almighty God. Come on. We know where our blessings come from. We know why we have favor. We know why... Come on, we know why this nation has become so great. It has been the blessings of the Lord. Now, there are many today who are trying to move us away from that. But nations do not endure just because of their military strength. Sheer determination alone doesn't get us through. Economic resources aren't what keeps us. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. I believe the church in America needs to be praying against the influences in our country who refuse to give God credit for his blessings upon us. In their thinking, their thinking is so bound by the enemy, and they really believe that we're better off when we deny giving glory and honor to God. Have you seen all the accounts of these people who have come from around the world to be here for the World Cup, and they're just amazed at how wonderful our nation is, and they're just bragging about all the different things, and they love ranch dressing. They just can't believe that you can just travel wherever you want to go and just go from state to state and see all these wonderful, beautiful sights, and they're saying, you know, this is nothing like the media back home is telling us. And they try to paint this picture that this is a horrible place, but America's awesome. Amen. Well, there's a reason why. It has been the help of the Lord. We are a nation of immigrants, except for those of us with Native American ancestry, somewhere back there, I'm part of that is half Cherokee and Choctaw, but I don't know which part. But the rest of us came from Scotland and Ireland somewhere, and when all those people came to this nation, they came for religious freedoms, for opportunity to make a new start. It's concerning today when people coming from other places, they do not value the principles our nation was founded on. And I get their desire to come to the greatest nation that there is, but when you come here, don't try to tear us down. Don't try to make us like the other nations of the world that people are trying to get out of. And I believe we need to pray against, the church should pray against these liberal ideologies among our nation's leaders. They're doing everything they can to destroy godly values and principles. That's not the way our nation became great. We are great because of the help of the Lord. And so I believe our nation is in crisis today, and to get through this, we need God's help. Abraham Lincoln, he led our nation through one of the most difficult periods of time, a crisis like no other, civil war. In that time, he famously said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." That reminds me of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, where God promises, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The people of God must pray. We must humble ourselves and pray and seek God and turn from sin. We need to hear from heaven today. We need God to hear from heaven. We need him to forgive our sin, to heal our land, to continue to bless us. Amen. God forbid we celebrate the milestone of 250 years, but forget why we're so blessed and who it was that brought us this far. Time and time again, Israel faced the danger of forgetting the goodness of God. God warned them. He said, "Don't forget why you're so blessed." Reading in Deuteronomy 6:10, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Success often makes people forget their dependence on the Lord. Isn't that something? And Samuel understood that. And so in our text today, God had just given them an awesome victory over the Philistines. But Samuel wanted them to remember it was the help of the Lord that did that. And so may we all remember that too today. May these great United States of America come back to that truth today. In God we trust. We are one nation under God. We've only made it this far by the help of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that today? Can we thank God for his blessings upon this great nation? Can we thank God for his help? Can we thank God for his goodness to us? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we get to our text today. You see, before God had raised Samuel up, Israel had rejected the Lord because of their wicked ways, and so he had allowed them to become oppressed by the Philistines. But Samuel assured them that if they would return to the Lord with all their hearts, God would deliver them from their enemies. And so they turned to the Lord. They put away their idols. They renounced their sin. They asked for the prophet to pray for them. And so Samuel makes a sacrifice and cries out to the God of Israel. And the Bible says that the Lord heard him. Can anybody testify of a time that you know the Lord heard you? The Lord heard your prayer. Come on, even maybe we'd made a mess of some things, and maybe we'd failed him, and maybe we'd gone against his word. Maybe we were desperate and didn't know what to do, but in the midst of all that, God heard our prayer. Who's thankful today that the Lord has heard you, that he made a way, that he brought you through some things? He helped us when we were helpless. He delivered us when we were bound. He set us free. Come on, he put the broken pieces back together again. The Lord heard us. I've got to take just a moment. I've got to take a moment and thank God for the help that he has given me this past year. This week, it has been 1 year, 1 year since the doctor told me that I had 3 blocked arteries in my heart, 2 of them 100%. That's some crazy news to hear. And it actually, it shook the doctor up a little bit. And it wasn't something that he could fix. And he said, you're going to have open heart surgery. And they wanted me to stay in the hospital over July 4th and then have surgery. But we'd asked to get a second opinion, and so for the next few days, I went around just not knowing whether I was about to drop dead at any moment, and it was crazy, and some of y'all remember that, and in that time, God spoke to me from Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And how that verse repeats, it was just so strong how it spoke to me. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so we waited, but now a year later, I know that God has helped me. God has helped my diet. And some of you feel sorry for me, but really, I'm pretty happy about it. And I don't eat any animal products at all. Just imagine that. It's kind of hard to do, but I love what I eat, and I feel incredible right now. And so God directed me to take his word like medicine 3 times a day. And so for 3 times a day for a year now, I read scriptures on healing. I have read those scriptures over 1,000 times now, and God has helped me through his word. I don't have a follow-up report yet to see the arteries of my heart. It's not an easy thing to just do, but I do know that things are better, and when I work out, when I walk, when I jog, I know that there's a change, and I do know that 1 year ago, God healed me of AFib, and I can truly say I am here because of the help of the Lord. It was the help of the Lord. I want to encourage somebody today to look to Jesus. He has help for you in the time of trouble. Aren't you thankful that we have a shelter from the storm? Aren't you thankful that when we don't know what to do, we can get in the Word of God and he can give us direction and blessings? Aren't you thankful today when your family is going through a time of crisis? You can run to the house of the Lord and say, God, I need some help. I need some help, and he hears your prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe there's somebody here today, if you would just stretch your faith a little bit, there is help for you. There is help for your family. There is help for your health. There is help for your finances. There is help for the brokenness in your life. Come on, we need the help of the Lord today. And so Samuel sacrificed, and he cried out to the God, to God for Israel, and the Lord heard him, and so Israel has turned to God, and now that they've made this start for the Lord, here come the Philistines. Isn't it something? We make a start for God. We make a commitment to live for the Lord. We start to sacrifice. We start to turn away from sin. We start to do what God wants us to. We turn to God, and you'd think that everything would be good from here on out. You'd think surely everything will get easier now that we're headed right. Who's had it happen to you that you start trying to do good and to live right and to answer the call of God, and here comes the enemy now? Instead of getting better, it gets worse. The children of Israel were afraid of the enemy, but God helped them. Reading again, 1 Samuel 7:10, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Samuel said, we've got to remember this amazing victory. They'd humbled themselves. They had repented. They had turned away from sin. The Lord had won that battle. It was not Israel that won it that day. It was the Lord that helped them. And so he took a stone and he named it as Ebenezer, which that meant the stone of help. And this was a common practice in that day to place memorial stones to remember important things. It was the same when Joshua led Israel across the Jordan River, and he said, take 12 stones and set them up to be a sign. So when your children ask, what do these stones mean? They would tell them about how God had stopped the waters of the Jordan River, and they had passed over into the promised land. I remember the song today, and we need to remember the things that God has done for us, but every once in a while, we just need to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. Come on, he touched my mind. He saved me just in time. And I'm going to praise his name because each day he's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Every once in a while, we got to remind ourselves, God has helped me. God has blessed me. God has healed me. God has provided. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you can't tell it like I can. All he's done for me, look what the Lord has done. Praise the Lord. We can get so busy dealing with life and circumstances that we forget all of the times he's helped us. We don't remember his blessings, and we can get so focused on our test, on our trial, on our trouble that all we see are problems all around, and we forget how many times God has brought us through. But I've come to tell somebody there's help for you today. Come on, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But if you can just be calm in the midst of the storm right now, and if you can think back to all the times God has helped you, all the times you had nowhere to turn, but God somehow kept you, all of the times that you were confused about the next step and direction to take, but God said, hold on, I'm working something for your good. I've come to preach to somebody today. There is help in the house of the Lord. There is help for your situation. There is help for your family. Amen. You need to get a little journal. You need to get a little journal, and you need to start writing down all the little things. Sometimes they're not so little, but sometimes it's just the little things that help you to know that God cares about what you're going through, that God cares about everything that you're dealing with, and you write it down. God made a way in this. God provided that. God opened that door. God healed me of that headache. God touched my kids. God made a way. God helped me to overcome, and you start reading back through those testimonies, and it encourages you. Hallelujah. Maybe you can have a picture that takes you back to a certain moment. You realize, God helped me. It might be an old Bible. It might be a hospital band that you don't have to wear anymore. It might be a baptism certificate. God helped me. Look at what brought the help for Israel. First of all, they humbled themselves. They had wandered from God. They had allowed compromise. They had mixed idol. It wasn't that they had just completely left worshiping God, but they had mixed idol worship in with their worship of God. And they wanted God's blessings, but they wanted their own desires too. Samuel called them out. He said, "Return to the Lord with all your hearts. Put away your strange gods. Serve God only, and He will deliver you." I could say it like this to us here today. Stop riding the fence. Stop riding the fence. Quit trying to have one foot in the church and the other out in the world. Come on, people want the blessings of being in the church. They want to enjoy the goodness of God. They want to feel the move of His Spirit. They want His healing power when they're sick. They want to make it to heaven. But they want the things of the flesh too. And they try to have it both ways, but it won't work. Choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. When they surrendered to God, He helped them. And so God responds to prayer. When Israel pleaded with Samuel, they say, "Cry unto the Lord." He offered a sacrifice, and he prayed, and God answered, and God did it. He brought thunder. He threw the enemy into confusion. They were smitten. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. No wonder the enemy fights your prayer so hard. Whatever he can do to get us to not pray. Because when we pray, God helps us. You just thought that you were having a bad day. No, the enemy knew that if you went to your time of prayer, it was going to confuse the enemy. It was going to confuse the enemy. And so if he could get you distracted, if he could get you upset about something, and if he could cause something to steal your time, amen, if he could keep you focused on something else, you wouldn't be able to pray, and the enemy would be able to do what he was trying to do. But when we pray, God helps us and he confuses the enemy and gives us victory. There are some battles that talent and ability won't win. There are some victories that we can't buy with money. There's some mountains that can't be climbed with our own strength. We're going to all face times that it is only by the intervention of God that we make it through. Hallelujah. Can anybody testify today of a time when you shouldn't have survived, but God brought you through? Your family should have fallen apart, but somehow God made a way. Come on, the church shouldn't have made it, but God kept us. No, we'd have never come through it on our own, but the Lord helped us. And if He did it before, He'll do it again. If He did it before, He'll do it again. We serve a God that never changes. His power is not slack. His arm is not short. He is still able, Brother Sean. He's still able, Brother Drew. He's still able, Brother Caleb. God's going to do it again. Somebody just reach out with faith and say, "God, you've made a way before. God, you've healed me before. God, you delivered me before. God, you blessed me before. And I ask that you would help me again." Amen. From Samuel's time, let's fast forward about 1,000 years. And God sent help. This time, He came to help. He took on a robe of flesh because we were desperate for help. He ministered to thousands. He trained disciples to do His work. And when it was time, He died on a cross to help us in a way that we could never help ourselves. But He didn't stay in the tomb. He rose again on the third day. And then He appeared to His disciples, and reading in Mark 16:15, and He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It was after this that Mark says he was received up into heaven, and in Mark 16, 20 it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. What were the signs following? In my name, they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. Come on, they're going to take up serpents accidentally. There's protection. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But they weren't doing it by themselves. It says the Lord was working with them. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with all there is to do to reach the city of Springfield and this surrounding area, and we think, how are we going to do it? How can we reach the poor? How can we help the blind? How can we reach the hurting? How can we reach those that are bound and addicted? And we get overwhelmed because we don't have the strength to do it ourselves. We don't have the resources it's going to take. But I've come to remind somebody today, the Lord was working with them. And I believe that's the answer today. It's not our strength. It's not our ability. It's not our power. But the Lord is going to help us. God is going to work with us. We need the help of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you see somebody who the medical community has written them off, their family has disowned them, they don't know where to turn because they burned every bridge they have. But their mind is bound. The only help for them is somebody who is filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Somebody who's baptized in the name of Jesus Christ can speak to their situation and speak life. Where everybody else in this world has spoken curses to them and death and darkness and brokenness, but somebody could see through all of that and realize there's a soul. And through the help of the Lord, we can speak life to their situation. And we can cast out whatever it is that's binding them. Amen. And we can show them what it takes to be saved. And they repent of their sins and they're baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, that's what God wants to help each of us to do. We are not called just to come to a church and sit here and fellowship together. No, that's part of it. But we are called to reach the world. And with the help of the Lord, we're going to turn this city upside down. With the help of the Lord, we're going to reach the city of Nixa. With the help of the Lord, we're going to reach Christian County and Green County. I believe God has sent us here, but we're not alone. He's going to work with us. He's going to confirm His word. He's going to send signs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anybody want to be used to do the work of the Lord? Does anybody want to be a partner to partner up with God as He's working in these last days? Does anybody want to say, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll do whatever you call me to do because I'm willing and I want to see a revival? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It was the help of the Lord. How could Moses stand before Pharaoh? I tell you, he was more than enough. He was more than equal with Pharaoh because God was with him. How could Gideon face the enemy of thousands with only 300 men? Because the help of the Lord is always enough. Elisha's servant, he saw the enemy all around him. But when God opened his eyes, he saw that those that were on their side were more than the enemy against them. Why is that? It was the help of the Lord. Where does our help come from today? Psalm 121:1.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing today? 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." The Lord had done a great work, but there was more to be accomplished. That's why Samuel said it that way. Hitherto the Lord has helped us. What does that mean? Thus far, the Lord has helped us. So far, the Lord has helped us. We must never forget how we got here. It was the help of the Lord. But here's the thing. If we're going to go forward, we've still got to have his help. We can't just say, well, we've come this far and now we've got it, Lord. Thank you so much. We'll catch you later. No, 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 no. We've still got to have the help of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know who this is today, but somebody here, you've been trying to just tough it out. You've been trying to fix it. You've been trying to just muscle your way through and by your own ability and strength and power, you're just like, I'm going to make it. I tell you, you need to surrender today. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's something that you haven't surrendered to God. And he's trying to help, but you won't surrender. You'll come to the Lord today and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. This is something I'm having a hard time surrendering, but God, if you'll help me, I want to lay that on the altar. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's some kind of attitude that pops up every once in a while. Maybe you need deliverance and you need somebody to pray for you and cast some things out. I don't know, but I want to tell you there's help from the Lord. We're going to pray that before you leave here today, there's going to be a change in you. There's going to be a difference made. God's going to open a door. God's going to set you free. God's going to work. He's going to move and he's going to bless. I wonder, can we gather around this altar right now? And I wonder if you would come with an open heart saying, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm not too good to ask for help today. I need the help of the Lord. I need your goodness. I need your blessings. I need your mercy and grace. Lord, I need some answers today because I don't know what to do. But I know there's help today for me. There's help in the house of the Lord. There's help in your word. There's help in the family of God. There's help in the moving of your spirit. Oh, God, I need help today. Would you move and would you work? In the name of Jesus, I pray for every need represented here right now. I pray for every heart, Lord, as we surrender to you. As we surrender to you, Lord, the things that we haven't surrendered, we put it on the altar right now because I can't do it by myself, Lord. I need your help. I pray that you'd work in my family. I pray that you would move in my life. I pray that you would heal and deliver from sickness and disease today. I pray, God, that you would touch those who are broken. Lord, I pray that you would give encouragement today for those who've been so discouraged. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement right now. There is always help from the Lord, no matter how bad it is, no matter how discouraged we are, no matter how broken the situation is, there is always help from the Lord. Lord, I pray that that you would let there be a change right now. I pray that you would begin to work something deep down within us. Lord, that you would let there be a transformation in us. Help us to become everything you've called us to be. I rebuke the attack of the enemy. I cancel the plans that the enemy has to discourage us and defeat us and destroy us. Let the plans of the enemy fail and fall and come to naught in Jesus' name.